It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Our question for today is, what does it mean to practice humanity in today's culture? So, last night, looking at this question, I'm thinking to myself, surely we did make it clear that we're talking about biblical questions. This question seems to be not biblical. What does it mean to practice humility in today's culture? And then you realize humility is not necessarily a humanitarian quality. It's something that you need to cultivate. Not everyone is born humble, which perhaps lends credence to it being in this segment, because Christians, most importantly and mainly in our context, purport to have a Christ who will teach you how to be humble. And that's why we have a pastor to clarify what exactly that means. In the Christian context, therefore, what does it mean to practice humility in today's culture? A culture that seems to be pompous and full of it. Everyone is showing off what they have and what they will have and who they are. Everyone wants to be celebrated and perhaps to an extent a celebrity. Everyone wants to be popular. Everyone wants to be something. What exactly does it mean to be humble, to practice humility? After all, even Jesus himself was popular. He was a celebrity of his time. Surely we cannot be castigating that. We need a pastor who's going to answer this question for us. What does it mean to practice humility in today's culture? Even our pastors are celebrities. Churches fill up when we know Pastor Kandawira is coming to Kelvin, and people come all over Gauteng just to hear this celebrity preacher, Pastor Andrew Kandawira. What does it mean to practice humility in today's culture? Well, we're going to find out, because Pastor Andrew Kandawira is here to give us some perspective. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, thank you. You had me laughing all throughout the introduction. I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, Mfundisi. Thank you very much. Our question is clear. I'm glad you're listening to it. What does it mean to practice humility in today's culture, Mfundisi?
All right. It's a beautiful question. And like you put it, it can easily throw you off balance. I would like to begin by just understanding what humility really is.
Right.
And then we'll ask scripture to help us understand how we can practice it in today's culture.
Right.
And so humility is simply modesty or humbleness. There's a portion in the Bible where the writer actually says he was the most humble, the humblest on all the earth. That's Moses in Numbers 12, verse 2. He wrote that book himself. And about himself, he said, Moses, the man, was the humblest of all men on earth. Mm. Now, because it is in the Bible, we know it to be true.
Okay.
Now, culture today says, if you think you are humble, the moment you think so, you cease being humble.
Absolutely.
That's what culture today says. But here we have a man speaking truth, and he says of himself.
He is himself
and so,
humble.
Humility is simply modesty or humbleness.
Right.
And you can equate that to meekness. And so, humility refers to an attitude towards oneself, a restraining of one's own power so as to allow room for others. In other words, humility is keeping your power under control. And so one cannot be humble if they have no power. You can only be humble when you have power and you keep that power under control. That is what humility is. And so in comparison to meekness, it could be said to be a calm temper of mind, not easily provoked. That is what it means to be humble. And so the examples of humility could simply be a willingness to learn. That is humility. Or a willingness to listen to others' perspectives, other people's points of view. That is humility. Now, when we ask scripture, how do we live humbly in today's culture? I have four texts to share with you from Philippians, Colossians, James, and back to Philippians. So let's begin with Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8. I want to read this portion.
Right.
The Bible says, Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8. Verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, the Bible is simply speaking about being humble here. This
right,
is
right.
Meekness, where you esteem others better than yourself.
Yeah.
In other words, keeping your power under control. Verse 4, the Bible says, let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant,
right,
and coming in the likeness of men. And verse 8, the Bible says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. This is a beautiful passage. The Bible is simply saying Christ humbled himself to the point of obedience. And Paul in Hebrews, in chapter 4, he tells us that we will never be tempted to such a point where we will have to bleed in order to strive against sin.
Yeah.
We will never be tempted to such a point. And so if Christ is our example and he humbled himself to take the form of man and die for man, as a result of humility, so he could take upon himself the sins of the world, be obedient and die a sinless sacrifice. The Bible is saying, if our example humbled himself to the point of death, surely we can humble ourselves to the point of taking the interests of others before ourselves. I find this is what Paul is discussing and in this portion of scripture. Let me jump to Colossians.
Before you get to Colossians, I just need you to help me understand. Remember, the context of our question is not necessarily to unpack humility, but in the context of today's society. If we are looking at our pastors, for example, today, who are also on social media, they also want followers, not disciples. Take note, they want to put out content so that they can have followers. Not people who they are preaching to, but people who are going to show just how famous they are. Surely we need to... If everyone is competing for the attention, not for discipleship, but for the attention of people, we need to redefine what we mean when we're talking about humility. And that's the context, perhaps, we need to plot this concept of humility. When we say people must be humble, what are we talking about? Because our ministers today, they want to drive fancy cars. They want to wear superlatively beautiful suits. And I'm not quite sure if those fancy watches that they wear are a sign of humility. I need us to be clear, in the context of today, what does humility look like? Just give us a picture of what humility looks like, because I don't think Jesus wore expensive robes during his time. So just plot it for us today.
All right. So I'm going to use scripture again.
Go ahead.
So going back to the definition of what humility is, and then when we couple it up with scripture, we find that there are a few traits that align with the character of humility. And so when we go back to Moses, where he proclaims himself to be the humblest, in his character, you will find that this is a man who would prefer others before himself. So this is a time when the children of Israel have sinned against God, and God is angry with them, and he tells Moses, get out of my sight, go away with your people, or else I'll come down and consume you. And Moses says, I'm not going if you're not going with me. And so he says, all right, in place of these people, blot out my name, but just save your people. Take me away from your book, but let your people leave. Let them be saved. Otherwise, the Egyptians will not only laugh at us, the whole world will laugh at you too. This is the definition of humility, where he does not prefer himself, but others. Exactly what Paul says, let no one look at their own interests first. And so from this, like you said about the example of pastors you gave, I would have preferred a different example.
I know, Vinny, I know.
But it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. So you have examples of ministers of the gospel of Christ who do not show humility in their character. Like, they want to have the best of vehicles above everyone else. They want to wear the best of clothing above everyone else. You can tell that if that is their character, it is the same in all aspects of life. So there is no show of humility in some of the ministers, like you gave an example. In contrast to Moses' character, who prefers others before himself. And so we did say that humility could simply mean a willingness to learn from others. Seventh-day Adventists are people who do not believe that they have anything to learn from others. They don't. Because we believe that, you know, we are the ones who understand the Bible in its real context. And so we are the ones with the truth. That may not be too far from the truth, but the thing is that most of our doctrines are actually copied from other denominations that came before us. And so if we have had something to learn from them before, then we can still have something to learn from them even now. And so in light with our interaction with other denominations, we can still humble ourselves and be willing to listen to others, to be willing to be taught by others. And that is what humility would mean.
Okay.
And so I would like to go back to scripture again, if we have time.
Yes, 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 we can. Go ahead, Mufunis.
Oh, great. All right. This time I would like to pick some sense from Colossians in chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 to 13. This is what Paul says, and then we'll end with James. I'll give you the last scripture, which we may not read, but I'll give it to you. It's quite common. But let's read from Colossians 3, verse 8 to 13. This is what the Bible says. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man with his who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all. Verse 12 says, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive. Here is what Paul is saying humility looks like in Colossians.
So
when we take away...
No, go ahead for this.
Yes. Okay, all right. So I was going to say that when we take away the old man and claim to be in Christ, our character must be dressed
right
by meekness, love, kindness, and long-suffering, tender mercies. When we have such a character, it will be easy for us because of our tender mercies, because our long-suffering, because of our meekness, it will be easy for us to bear with the weaknesses of others. Like I said earlier, humility is restraining one's own power, putting your power under control. So when we bear long with others, even when they have done something wrong,
yeah,
when we prefer that we put them, and when we forgive, when we have a willingness to forgive, we are being humble, just as Moses was. And so imagine the temptation, the trial Moses was put through by the children of Israel, and yet with his humility, he would excuse them every time before God. This is the kind of heart that Paul says we ought to have because we claim to be children of God. We ought to have such a character that bears long with others, that has tender mercies for others, that is kind, and that is humble before others, so that we can put our power under self-control. James has a beautiful thing to say about this subject. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Listen to what the Bible says. James 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his words are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This could simply answer the question at all. The Bible tells us that those who make peace are those who do not have hypocrisy in their heart. They don't have partiality in their heart. They are peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield. And they are full of mercy in their hearts. This is how we can practice humility.
Okay.
When we have peace in our hearts, we seek peace with every man. In the time of Jesus, maybe even now, in the time of Jesus, in the Middle East, it was customary to seek peace with every person you meet on the road. And so they greeted every human being they came across simply because they sought to make peace with every human. It was customary. And so this is where the Muslims I've forgotten how they do it, but the Jews will wish you peace. The Muslims do it also in their own way. They have a different way of doing it.
Muslims say salam alaikum.
Ah, exactly. And the Jews,
they say shalom.
Wish you peace, but simply wishing you peace, saying shalom.
That's right.
And this is not a greeting, really. This is a wish for peace for you, a person they don't know, a person they have just met right along the way. And because of this, we can practice humility when it begins from such a point
right
where you simply wish peace for those around you. And then you pick it up from there and humble yourself, keep yourself, your power under check, under control, so that others are preferred before you. Yeah. And the reason really we are doing this as Christians is because, like Paul, we want to win everyone over to Christ. And so right when in Rome, we behave like Romans so that we may win just even one soul.
Right.
The last text I had for you, I may not read because I've taken too much of your time, is Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Now, in most cases, people would just read verse 8 and then they'll end there. But I would like you to read verse 9 as well. Read verse 4 and 9 together, and then you realize just what God is saying to us concerning this subject of being humble, being peaceful with all men.
Right. All right.
That is how we practice humility in this day.
All right.
Because we want to win as many as we can to the gospel of Christ.
Got it. Pastor, this is our last day together. It's been eye-opening. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much for your time and your insights. May God bless your ministry, Mfundisi. So really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. And thank you for the laughter and the joy that I have also enjoyed this one week.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a blessed Sabbath tomorrow and a very constructive preparation day.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.